recent weeks about the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra touring North America. And today, as I greet you, they're on their way home. And all being well, I'll be out at Tullamarine Airport to meet them during the week. But we all want to thank you sincerely for making them so welcome over there. Their tour has been quite outstanding. A night or two ago, I saw on our television the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra rehearsing for their big Carnegie Hall appearances in New York. It was wonderful to see them all, and thank you very much, as I say, for looking after them so well and receiving them so kindly. First call in mailbag, it's hello to Mr. Paul Blanchard, 326 St. Andrew Street, Bathurst, New Brunswick in Canada. Oh yes, your aerogram is first out of mailbag this week, Paul, and it contains your report number 6 for Listener's Club membership. And that's the halfway mark, isn't it, number 6? But I guess other reports have been dispatched already. This one was dated mid-September. Your questions, Paul, all concern the weather, and mainly deal with temperatures. Well, the last part is the easiest one to answer. Australia does not have very much snow. It lies for about 4 months, generally, in the southeastern highlands, and that's a long way from our big cities. And folk in our southernmost state of Tasmania probably see more snow than anyone else. And in the city of Melbourne, well, I suppose they might have seen snow a couple of times in the outer suburbs in the last 10 years. It had lasted about 10 minutes, and that's all. And it's gone. We don't know what snow is when we try to compare it with your country. Now to these temperatures you want to know about. The highest temperature ever recorded in Australia was 127.5 degrees Fahrenheit at Cloncurry, Queensland, on the 16th of January, 1889. That's a long time ago. And the lowest, at Charlotte Pass, that's 6 miles from our highest mountain, Mount Kosciuszko, there's a little settlement there, Charlotte Pass, minus 8 degrees Fahrenheit, and that was recorded twice, in June 1945, and I think it was July 1947. That's the highest and the lowest. Now, the mean temperatures, mean annual temperature for, say, the city of Adelaide is 63 degrees. In Melbourne, it's 58.5. In Sydney, 63.2. In Canberra, 56.1. Now, if you'd like to make that as a comparison with somewhere in New York, for instance, I have here 51.8. But the extremes in New York are far greater than the general extremes in Australia. Now, in New York, with its 51.8 mean annual temperature, it has extremes of a maximum of 102 and a minimum of minus 14 degrees. Whereas in Melbourne, with its 58.5 mean, it has a maximum of 114 and a minimum of just 27 degrees. No minuses at all. So that might give you some idea about temperatures in Australia, in our island continent. And thank you, Paul, for asking those questions. Paul Blanchard, Blanchard, 326 St. Andrew Street, Bathurst, New Brunswick in Canada. Here's someone who likes our programs and finds the music from Radio Australia soothing. It's Randy Sobo. Randy Sobo, 2622 Ravinia Lane, Woodridge in Illinois, 60515. Hi there, Randy. You're in 10th grade at Bennett Academy in Lyle, L-I-S-L-E. That's a boy's name in Australia. I suppose it's used as a boy's name over there sometimes, is it? The Bennett Academy in Lyle. Well, I hope you're listening today, Randy. You did ask me to call earlier. Pardon me for the frog. You asked us to call you earlier, but we can't always arrange that as we have so many letters reaching us each day at Radio Australia. But yes, you're quite right. Musically, most people associate Australia with Waltzing Matilda. But it's not an anthem. It's Australia's best-known folk tune, and we use it always as part of our tuning signal. Most times we conclude our transmissions with the national anthem, God Save the Queen. Now, Randy, your 2 reports have been QSL'd and registered with our listeners' club. I'm pleased to know that you can also hear some of our programs beamed to Asia and the Pacific. That's not really unusual, but then it's not common either, so you're doing quite well. 73s to you too, Randy. Randy Sobol, S-O-B-O-L, of 2622 Ravinia, R-A-V-I-N-I-A, Lane, Woodridge, Illinois, where the zip code is 60515 in the U.S. From Illinois to New York State, and another young man is waiting to hear from us, Mr. Eric Rosenberg, of 19 Carey Road, Great Neck, New York. And the zip code 11021.
Hello, Eric.
I'm glad to be able to chat with you in Mailbag for a few moments, Eric. But I'm going to let you introduce yourself, as I quote from your very neat letter. And Eric says, I'm 15 years old and became interested in radio, in brackets he has ham, shortwave listening, CB, etc., because nine of my friends are hams, including four neighbours. And it really fascinated me, and still does. End of quote. And then Eric tells me that his receiver is the same age as he is, 15 years old, and he's the third owner. And I might add that Eric describes Mailbag as fantastic. But I really think that's his opinion of all Mailbag or listeners' programs, because this is the one opportunity for the shortwave listeners, the stations and the rest of the world, the whole three groups, shortwave listeners, stations and the rest of the world, to get to know each other in a Mailbag-type program. Yes, it's a great meeting ground, Eric. And this is so important in these days. It's a shrinking world, but we have an even greater need for sane, intelligent, friendly communications between all peoples everywhere. That's my true feeling about it all. But thanks for being for us. And I trust that the parcel of literature from Australia will further gladden your heart, Eric. Eric Rosenberg, 19 Carey Road, Great Neck, New York, 11021 in the US. It's my pleasure to spend a few moments chatting to a long-standing mailbag pal known as Mr. Lawrence Ward, 183 Summer Street, Lewiston in Maine, 04240 US. I should say he's known as Larry. Hello, Larry. Many thanks for this August letter, welcoming me back to the airways after that great trip. Although I saw something of Massachusetts and New Hampshire and Vermont, I regret that time just did not permit me to see the state of Maine. But as I've told you by letter, I did meet up with Alex Ritchie and his wife in Boston. I'm glad to know you had a good holiday, Larry, even if it did consist of just short trips around your home base. And you heard some mention of a mobile radio service in Australia. Well, Larry, that refers generally in this country to the mobile radio telephone service operated by the Postmaster General's Department, the radio telephone service that can link cars and trucks and boats with the general telephone network. As in North America, more and more businessmen have phones installed in their cars, but we don't have a citizens' band in Australia that can be likened to that operating in your country. That's one of your great interests, isn't it, Larry? Listening in on the CV, this citizens' band. I trust that Tim and Doug are quite well, and yourself, of course, Larry. Our very best wishes to you. Mr. L. Ward, Lawrence Ward or Larry Ward, 183 Summer Street, Lewiston in Maine, 04240, the zip code. Into Canada now to greet Mr. R.D.G., spelled G-double-E, of 843-310 Bloor Street, West, Toronto 5, Ontario, in Canada. Greetings and welcome to Mailbag, Mr. G. If I remember correctly, Bloor Street is a pretty big one, pretty long. I remember getting out onto Bloor Street from the underground whilst I was visiting Toronto. And you heard our programs on an inexpensive four-tube receiver, 2 years old, with a 20-foot-long antenna, hung north-south direction, 80 feet above the ground. But you were a little disappointed in the general quality of reception. I hope it's improved by this. But we've sent you some bits and pieces. Your report was quite good. It's been QSL'd, and I trust that our program guide and the other literature reach you quite safely, and that it all encourages you to become one of our regulars. Good listening, Mr. G. RDG, G-double-E, 843-310 Bloor Street West, Toronto 5, Ontario in Canada. Time to greet a lady who resides at a spot with a picturesque address. It's Miss Terza Stewart King of 4 Haven Avenue, Pigeon Cove in Massachusetts, 01966. A warm welcome to Mailbag, Miss King. And please allow me to quote the second, just the two opening sentences from your letter. It was written on the 3rd of August, and this is what Miss King says. 20 years ago today, I arrived in Australia for a four-month stay. 2 weeks ago, I discovered Mailbag. End of quote. Well, now, you've been listening to our weekday programs for some time, but this had been your first opportunity for Sunday listening. You're about 35 miles north of Boston, but like some other friends near that great city, you do have reception difficulties when trying to tune into Australia. But we must give you full marks for perseverance, because you've been able to help Aussie friends over there by passing on the latest news heard from Radio Australia. Well, thank you for being a good backstop. And very many thanks too for this superb collection of coloured postcards. A couple of them show the famous Motif Number 1 at Rockport, probably the most popular art subject on the entire Atlantic coast. And oh yes, and there's the steeple of Rockport's first congregational church, called the Old Sloop, because during the War of 1812 it was fired on by a British frigate, which mistook it for an enemy sloop. Oh, and here's Pigeon Cove itself. But that's a sad story too. This scenic harbour was so named because on one occasion great flocks of pigeons flying over the sea from New Hampshire and Maine were overcome by a storm, fell into the waves, and then were washed up upon the shore. Well, thank you for all this. It's given me a much better insight into the part of Massachusetts I didn't see. I must move on though. Thank you again, Miss Terza Stewart King, of 4 Haver Avenue, Pigeon Cove, Massachusetts, 01966, and give my best wishes to your Aussie pals, will you? Next stop in mailbag is 50 miles west of Cape Hatteras. Mr. Frank M. Crow, CROW, Route 1, Box 34, Arapaho, North Carolina, 28510. Greetings to you, Frank. You made some interesting comparisons here. You were able to hear our evening service to North America, that's evening your time, on the 13-meter band last March and April when you were in the northwestern part of Louisiana. But you're now unable to pull in that signal in eastern North Carolina, even though you're using the same equipment and the antenna is very similar. Well, yes, you're quite right. It isn't easy to give technical advice from this distance, but you would be delighted, I know, to hear from any other listeners within a radius of 250 miles of your North Carolina address. Preferably someone who's correctly reported on our various transmissions. And I'll repeat Frank's address in just a moment. That general service of Radio Australia that you heard for an extra 45 minutes for a while, Frank, that's not available now because when we commenced our American transmissions on your winter schedule, that frequency was later acquired for one of our Asian transmissions. But I'm glad you enjoyed what you heard. And now for that name and address again. Best wishes to you, Frank. Frank M. Crow, CROW, Route 1, Box 34, and I'm sure I pronounced this place incorrectly, it's Arapahoe. It's in North Carolina, 28510. Welcome to another first-timer, and this was written on the 31st of August by Brian Friedman, 2356 Ross Street, Cincinnati in Ohio, 45219. Hi there, Brian. I'll let you introduce yourself, too, and as I read from your letter in a moment. I listened to Mailbag yesterday for the first time, and I really enjoyed it. I started high school today, and much to the relief of those who read my letters, I'm taking a course in typing. End of quote. Well, this typing effort was pretty good, Brian. We've posted you written information about joining our listeners' club, and I trust that we'll be receiving your first reports very soon. Brian's favourite sport is ice hockey. Do you play it yourself, Brian? Or do you just enjoy watching it? Well, it can't be considered a very popular sport in Australia because the weather is never cold enough to freeze up lakes for ice skating. We have to have it in indoor ice skating rinks. Good luck in your high school studies, Brian. Brian Friedman, 2356 Ross Street, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45219 in the US. It must be a week for new listeners week in Mailbag. I'm delighted to welcome Mr. Jim Spurlock, 620 Martin Street, Clarksville, Tennessee, 37040. Howdy, Jim. And I'll quote your introduction here, too, as you talk to us for the very first time. I'm 18 years of age and I lived in Clarksville, Tennessee all my life. I've just completed 12 years of public schooling and am now in my first year at Austin Peay State University, where I'm majoring in health and physical education. You're a few years ahead of young Brian, aren't you? So our very best wishes as you commence your tertiary education. And thanks for these colourful cards, too, Jim. A bit of background to your part of Tennessee, Clarksville, it's in the north of the state, on the Cumberland River, with a population of 36,000. Thanks for telling us that. And your comprehensive report has been QSL. With our best wishes, good luck to you, Jim. Jim Spurlock, 620 Martin Street, Clarksville, Tennessee, 37040. Our last mailbag call today has a real modern name to it. The place, Satellite Beach. William Smith of 197 Glenwood Avenue, Satellite Beach, Florida. And thanks for this neatly typed letter, William. You're a 16-year-old and especially interested in the scouting movement. You're an explorer scout. That's the 15 to 21 years of age group. Is that something like a rover scout? Anyway, William, I've arranged for some information about scouting in Australia to be sent direct to you. You first became an explorer scout in Indiana. We've also written to you about pen pals, I'm sorry that you have to leave school by 7 a.m., but you can catch up with us on Sundays, can't you? And this is where I must leave all of you, but goodbye to you, first of all, William. William Smith, 197 Glenwood Avenue, Satellite Beach, Florida, 32935. And goodbye to all of you from Keith Glover. Until next week.